Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. April 14, 2018. What are banners in the work? We are obligated to achieve similarity of form with the Creator. This is the goal of creation, or in other words, it is inevitable. And if we do not want this, then the upper force, like caring parents, will punish the son until he gets it because they understand that there is no other way. Love for the child obligates them to punish him. It is written, "He who spares the rod, spoils the child." But, needless to say, this is an undesirable path, not out of love. That's why there are two paths, the path of the Torah and the path of suffering. And these paths do not go in different directions, but rather advance side by side. If at each moment on the path I am not advancing in the right direction or at the right speed, then I immediately draw a reaction from the upper force because of its absolute love toward me, either positive or negative. This reaction shapes me. The question is only the degree of my sensitivity and awareness that always, at each moment, I am under the control and authority of the Creator. No matter what passes through my thoughts or desires, in my actions or in the entire body, I must only think about what the Creator is doing to me. In other words, I must always remain in the thought that there is none else besides Him who brought me to a given state and within it gave me a little freedom to realize that I can try to become similar to the Creator or to my Pharaoh. In this lies the essence of the entire work of an individual. There is none else besides Him, this is the truth. That is why I need to rid myself of all imaginings that there are multiple forces that affect my existence. There is nothing other than the one force. But if I am confused, then I imagine a thousand different forces and I, as if, distance myself from the Creator, from the one source to 10, to 1,000 sources that impact me. But this is absolutely untrue and it leads me away from the path of truth. The work in Egypt is already work with respect to the Creator, only initially we think that we can advance with our egoism, with Pharaoh's full consent. We think that we can unite and reveal the upper world, the Creator, the upper force, and reach perfection and unity, as our ego imagines it. This is called 7 years of satiation. Shame in spirituality is entirely different from what it is in our world where we feel shame because some unseemly acts are revealed and became known to others. Spiritual shame appears when I am dissimilar to the Creator. This is the exact cause of shame that brought on the first restriction in the world of Ein Sof, infinity. It is as if I am sitting across from the Master and see that He gives everything and I receive everything. I discover that I am the one receiving and therefore am different from the Creator, the Giver. And that is why I hate this quality in myself, this desire to receive, because I cannot be rid of it. Look at what the Creator did with me. I hate this poison within myself and I am powerless to rid myself of it. And even worse, I am constantly demanding it or else I cannot live. Only when I decide that death is better than this kind of life am I freed from evil, and the Creator reveals to me that there is life above the will to receive. But, in essence, my whole life is fully within this egoistic will to receive. I depend on this pleasure and cannot hide from it. I hate it and cannot live without it. It is a terrible state that takes me through the 10 plagues of Egypt because I do not know how to rid myself of it. I feel that it is poison, but I must take it, otherwise from what source will I live? My entire life is fed exclusively by this poison. I need this snake, I only hope that it does not run away from me because if it does, I will have no pleasure at all in life and I will die. There are many levels of shame. It is only shame that forces us to rise to a higher level, always higher and higher. Shame, the recognition of evil, is the sole reason for rising higher. The Creator is the good that does good because He changes our sensory organs, giving us the possibility to understand what is genuine kindness and goodness. But nothing really changes in our daily lives. Life is only meant to bring us to the point of making the right choice for the real life. We change our values, And then with new values we discover a better life. But it doesn't mean that life itself changes. It is only with our new values that this life seems more pleasant to us. After all, each judges according to their own flaws. We need to change our qualities, then we will see an ever more benevolent world. The entire world is absolute good, the light of Ein Sof fills the entire reality. What prevents us from living well with such high levels of technological advancement? Why does the Creator keep ruining our lives by colliding us with each other every day? Because otherwise we would not need Him. And the good is only in the adhesion with the Creator. That is why the Creator created all the contrasting forms, in order to show us that we can only experience the good when we are in absolute bestowal toward Him. Pharaoh is necessary. He acts to our benefit, helping us escape egoism. It is specifically Pharaoh who is responsible for bringing the nation of Israel closer to the Creator. There is no more loyal angel to the Creator than Pharaoh, our egoism, our snake. That is why all medicine is made from poison. From the third part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, the 26th of March 2018, Writings of Rabash, What Are Banners in the Work? No fear of another Holocaust. There is no good or evil in this world, but only two forces, giving and receiving, which have to merge. They work according to a simple principle of connection, the law of the similarity of form. And to the extent of our unity or lack thereof, according to the time allocated for our development, these forces generate the states that develop and change the desire to give pleasure to creation. We must be impartial to this process, keep our feelings out of it, or we will not understand it. The judge has only what his eyes see and not what his heart feels. To punish or to pardon. The Creator treats every person, even an infant, as if he is responsible for his own decisions. From his perspective, there is no difference between people, we are all one body that must fulfill its mission, adults, children, men, women, the elderly, everyone falls under the same rule. The Holocaust is a consequence that accumulated over a long period of time. For two millennia, Jews tried to avoid their responsibilities. Their purpose is to be the light to the nations, to be a conduit that delivers the light to the part of humanity that does not belong to its head, but to the body of the common soul and is unable to pull the upper light to it by itself. However, specifically in that part is where the Creator should be revealed. Israel, which is called I Am the Head, Lirosh, only serves as a conductor of the light to the body. But the actual contact with the upper force and the adhesion of the creation with the Creator takes place in the body, where the need for it is felt the most. And when Israel does not fulfill its mission, it makes itself useless in this world. Either the upper governance will have to bring a lot of suffering to us, the left line, to make us change our behavior and attract the light that reforms to the right line, or we will realize it and start behaving correctly on our own. It is one or the other. The Creator does not decide what to do with us, to punish or to pardon. The system works according to specific laws, not emotions. Today, the situation is worse than 80 years ago. Back then, the nations of the world supported the people of Israel in creating their country because it brought with it a possibility of this world's correction. Today, we have no such support from anyone. The world refuses to even give respect to the remembrance of the Holocaust. This shows that the nation of Israel fails to fulfill its mission even slightly. The other nations feel no benefit from us. On the contrary, they see us as the most harmful part of the world. The only way to solve this is for us to unite and turn ourselves into a conduit. We will create a circle in our connections and form a pipeline for the world. This is our purpose. If we, however, fail to do so, we will feel the hatred from above, from the Creator, and from below, from the nations of the world. We already saw what this leads to. We exist in the system of nature's laws that one cannot forget nor hide from. So let's not pretend that we do not understand what is happening. It is worthwhile informing ourselves about this issue, and then we have a chance to save ourselves. Nothing else will help, for the law is given and cannot be broken. With the passing years, the memory of the Holocaust fades. It no longer causes the feeling of common loss and pain. If that happened to any other nation, aimed against their desire to receive, it would have been felt much more strongly and would not have been forgotten in hundreds of years. But since the Holocaust was aimed at our insufficient work with the desire to bestow, the memory of it vanished. Today, we feel no trace of it. We have to understand this unusual phenomenon. This is why there is no fear of a Holocaust today. This is incomprehensible. Even when the new wave of anti-Semitism arises, reminding us of a possibility of another Holocaust, no one is impressed by it. Just like the Jews of Poland did not concern themselves before World War II, thinking that everything will turn out well. However, our condition today is even worse than it was before the Holocaust. Nevertheless, the Jewish nation cannot awaken. Because awakening should not be a result of suffering. Suffering can only be a side effect. The awakening has to be the result of realizing our mission, the necessity for us to unite in order to bring the Creator, the upper light, from top to bottom, to all the creations, that is, not running away from blows, but revealing the Creator to all of humanity. The spiritual root of anti-Semitism is the incorrect behavior of the nation of Israel that must reach unity with the upper light. The result of this lack is revealed in the uncorrected desires, not in its head, but in the body of the common soul, in the nations of the world. When the body of the spiritual partsuf is supposed to receive the inner light from the head but does not receive it, this lack goes up to the head and is felt there as anti-Semitism. Today, Nazism can arise in any developed country. The more developed the country is, the higher the chances of it reaching Nazism, because people are more sensitive and feel more strongly that they are suffering because of the Jews. The situation is such that the democratic, liberal, and pro-socialist regimes are about to collapse and make way for Nazism, as Balhar Sulam had warned us. 5 from the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, April 11, 2018, lesson on the topic Holocaust Remembrance Day. New Life number 969. What is the wisdom of Kabbalah?
Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzan Mazoz. Hello. Today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about the wisdom that he's studying and teaching, the wisdom of Kabbalah. The Israeli public has different opinions, fears, associations that have to do with this word, Kabbalah, the Book of Zohar. We'll try to better understand these things. Be with us, Nitza, please. Yeah, today we'd like to talk to you about different fears that create some kind of resistance to the wisdom of Kabbalah. I think that we all know that if I'll stop 1,000 people on the street and I'll ask them, what do you know about the wisdom of Kabbalah, or even how does it make you feel, or what association does it evoke, we'll hear many things like, you can go mad, unclear forces, magical negative forces. This is the general opinion that people have. So today I'd like to try and scrutinize. Maybe I'll put it this way. How are these magical negative forces related to the wisdom of Kabbalah? Are they related? Aren't they? How's this force that's perceived as a negative force related to the wisdom of Kabbalah? Is it related? Completely unrelated. So let's try and understand them. On the contrary, the wisdom of Kabbalah explains how to reach the upper forces. But an upper force, it means not that it's stronger, but it means that it is the force of bestowal and love. It's not a force of reception and hatred, which is our nature. How do we rise above our nature, cover our evil nature with the force of good. And therefore, the wisdom of Kabbalah, to begin with, when it brings a person to these good forces of bestowal, love, connection, that, like it says, I have to reach, don't do to others what you hate, love another as thyself. It teaches us how can we use our forces in order to give, in order to provide others with what they want. And therefore, in its essence, it can't cause harm to anyone because all of the forces that you acquire in the wisdom of Kabbalah are positive forces of bestowal and love. This is one thing. Another thing is that people, because they hear that there is such a hidden wisdom. And why is it hidden? Because it really is hidden. Because it is hidden from our senses. Where are these actions of bestowal? Where can you even see love? You can't see it. Well, a love that a mother has for a child, that's obvious. But we're not talking about that because this is natural love that also animals have. But the love that the wisdom of Kabbalah talks about is that love covers for all crimes, meaning that there's even hatred from one person to another. And he covers that hatred with love. So what follows is that love, it can't even exist without hate. It exists because there is hate that precedes it. And therefore, what you get here are really strange things that in our world, we don't know what to do with them. We don't know how to use them. And therefore, there are many different rumors about the wisdom of Kabbalah. I remember 40, 45 years ago, about 40 years ago, when I started studying, there were people that really held me by the hand and told me, Michael, what are you doing? You don't know what you're getting into. Look, you have such a great family, a home, a business, you're successful, everyone respects you. Where are you going? What are you doing? They really held me. And then I really heard many stories about Kabbalists from people that don't belong to the wisdom of Kabbalah, who said that you have no idea, these are people that when you stand next to them, you shiver, and many other stories. But I really wanted to know, what am I living for? I don't want to just let my life flow and finish them the way everyone else does in a cemetery. Before that, I want to know, does love have some kind of a higher value than simply sustaining this protein, our body, and that's it? And in the university, I studied biocybernetics, meaning about the systems of the body. So I wanted to all the time know why, what for, what inner forces activate the body. And I didn't see that it's explained anywhere in any science, and this is why I came to the wisdom of Kabbalah. And therefore, it's no wonder that if we ask many people on the street about what the wisdom of Kabbalah is, then practically everyone will be negative about it. The question is why? For several reasons. The first reason is, if they're religious, then sure, they say, no problem, you can keep what it says in the book of Shulchan Aruch, and you'll have everything. This world, the next world, do as our forefathers did. And really, it's clear what has to be done. What does a person live for in order to keep this? And if they're secular, they say, my grandfather, he was a great Kabbalist, and this fact in and of itself covers them too. He's proud of his grandfather being Kabbalist. There are those that say, "That's not for me. Leave me alone. I have other things to do in life. I want to enjoy life. What do you want? To better my life?" When I started studying the wisdom of Kabbalah, I was about 30, even though I was searching before. But I started searching in the wisdom of Kabbalah about at the age of 30. And everyone told me, "What's wrong with you? You're starting to study these things now. Why is it when you'll be 60 in 30 years and then you'll start studying towards the end? But now, it's still early. Have fun." Let's try and understand, why do people say this? There is something behind this perception, meaning they think that the wisdom of Kabbalah, the thought is that the wisdom of Kabbalah is completely different than what you're saying. There's a very big difference between what everyone thinks about the wisdom of Kabbalah and what you're describing. There's a very big difference. Now, everyone thinks that. So why did it happen? Like people say that everything is based on some kind of truth. Even if eventually it's a myth and rumors and a lie, it's based on something. It's a wisdom that's completely counter to a person's ego, that's entirely based on the will to bestow and not the will to receive. A wisdom that doesn't belong to our world. The entire nature of this world, the inanimate, vegetative, animate, and the speaking, works on reception, how to receive, how to succeed, how to earn, and if it's at the expense of others, then even better. And the wisdom of Kabbalah is based on the very opposite. How do I give everyone? What kind of desire do they have that I can fulfill? How can I treat them favorably? The very opposite. It's like looking in the mirror. It's the complete opposite. And therefore, in our world, the rules of the wisdom of Kabbalah are unclear. The governance is unclear. You want to attain it. What for? For your life in this world? For your corporeality? It won't help you. So what do you need it for? You want to feel the opposite world, as it says, "I've seen an opposite world." What for? A healthy person who lives in his ego in this world, he doesn't need the wisdom of Kabbalah. Only for those that have an inner urge to cross the border, the boundary between our corporeal egoistic world to the upper altruistic world, only they feel that they have an urge for it, and the wisdom of Kabbalah is meant for them, but not for others. Not for others. Therefore, our entire dissemination that we're really so engaged in, it's only in order to find the few souls that really want it, that have an inclination towards it. In our times, it's many more than before. And therefore, the wisdom of Kabbalah is becoming revealed and is inviting. But actually, one more thing I want to ask about. From the beginning of the show, we talked about forces, and you said that Kabbalah, at its essence, can't cause harm to anyone. Now, when you have a force in your hands, suppose that this cup is a certain force, I have it in my hands, I can use this force after you gave it to me in different ways. I can use it in a good way, I can use it in a bad way. If Kabbalah, from what I understand from you, deals with supernatural great forces, positive forces, you're adding positive, but we know that there are many things, very bad things, that over time were related to Kabbalah, witchcraft, and different other things that you can't say that they're positive. Of course not. So you agree. So if Kabbalah is really dealing with forces, no, not forces. Forces isn't a good choice of words, something vague. The wisdom of Kabbalah deals with the force of reception, which is the entire nature of this world, and the force of bestowal, which is the nature of the upper world. These two forces What about witchcraft? No such thing in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Can Kabbalah help you get rid of spells? No. So how come there were people that studied Kabbalah and got rid of spells? It's not Kabbalah? Maybe they thought it was Kabbalah, but you don't have a single real, authentic Kabbalah book that talks about such things in any way. It says so in the wisdom of Kabbalah openly that it's not about witchcraft, different tricks. Suppose Pulsa de Nua, everyone knows about this concept. No, it's unrelated to the wisdom of Kabbalah. What then? It's unrelated. Pulsa de Nua is a spiritual concept that there is the upper light. Upper light. Pulsa. De Nua. Nua means light, the upper light that destroys a person's ego. And all that is on a spiritual level where a person wants to destroy his ego, to invert it from negative to positive. That just like now I want everything for myself, I want it for the benefit of others. And this is why I need the upper force, the force of light. That's called the reforming light. It's the force of the Torah. So, from what I understand, you say that Pulsa de Nua is a force that exists in Kabbalah that destroys a person's ego. Yes. This is really frightening. But a person can do that only on himself, that he wants to destroy his ego, his egoistic desire. A person can activate such a force. A person destroys himself? Not himself. I don't know what you mean by himself. Scrutinize exactly what you're asking. The ceremony of Pulsa de Nua. There is no such ceremony, but people did it recently. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, there are no ceremonies. Ever. Never. Nothing corporeal can influence spirituality. Do whatever you want. You can go to the forest and shout. They say that at night in the cemetery, wherever, under the moonlight, full moon, midnight, has nothing to do with the wisdom of Kabbalah. What does it have to do with them? I don't know. What can we relate it to? How can we label it? Because people in general relate it to Kabbalah. People relate everything to Kabbalah because it's the hidden wisdom that people weren't engaged in, and therefore they relate everything to it. And it's a mistake? It's not a mistake, it's just a lie. A mistake is a mistake, but this is a lie. Who's lying to whom? Those that invented it. They take different things from the books and relate them to this world. So this is why people say that Kabbalah can make you go mad? Yeah, because people take different things from the Kabbalah books and they think that it's possible to realize them or do them in this world. And in general, the Torah and the wisdom of Kabbalah, they're written in the language of branches, where there are no hands or legs or a person's body or anything else. So the wisdom of Kabbalah is really frightening. It's not frightening if you know how to read it. On the contrary, it opens up a world for you. So the people that went mad, they didn't know how to read it. Why did they go mad? I don't know if they went mad at all. I met an acquaintance a month ago, and he told me, you know, this guy heard that he read the book of Zohar, and he went mad. And I also remember someone else from many years ago that also told you. No, that he went and studied the Zohar, and people say that he went mad. I didn't see him since then. It's all talk and stories. So do people go mad because of Kabbalah and the Zohar? You can't go mad because of Kabbalah. You can go mad because of anything, including the book of Zohar, if you read it without any preparation or anything. You have plenty of such books in psychology and in everything that can drive you mad, even more than the wisdom of Kabbalah. So, let's make a summary. According to what I understand, from what you're saying, over time, different things were ascribed to the wisdom of Kabbalah that aren't related to the wisdom of Kabbalah. All the magic we talked about, the negative forces, spells, in order to add importance to it. But you're saying that it's unrelated to what really exists in Kabbalah, meaning the public relates to Kabbalah many things that are completely unrelated to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like witchcraft, magic, and so on. Yeah. So you're saying that in pure Kabbalah, there's no place for magic, spells, not to put a spell on anyone, not to get rid of any spells, nothing. You're talking as if you came from the jungle. I'm an ordinary Israeli citizen. As if you really came out of a cave a few thousands of years BC. But there's an entire industry that makes billions, that gets rid of spells for people and so on, of course. And as you know, they all say they're Kabbalists. Sure, if I'd want to make money, I'd also make a big ritual around it. So, just to conclude so that people will understand what we're talking about, everything that has to do with magic, even though the people related to Kabbalah, it's unrelated to Kabbalah. So we're putting the magic aside. Right. Now let's talk about, can people go mad from studying the book of Zohar, Kabbalah? I didn't exactly understand the answer, because you said that people, they read the books, they see that it says Pusa Denula, they perform different rituals, but they don't exactly understand what it says in the books and do incorrect things. It's not that they're incorrect. You can't do these things in practice at all, but these rituals were done. Some of them made the headlines. When you're saying that they performed incorrect rituals, you mean that it's possible to perform correct rituals. And I'm saying that you can't perform any kind of rituals, because the wisdom of Kabbalah is not about rituals. It's not something that you can do with your hands, legs, or with your body, but only in a person's inner desire. A person that yearns to perform actions of bestowal instead of actions of reception, that's it. Okay, you're engaged in this wisdom for many years, 40 years. And you're probably a very smart person, that if you open the Kabbalah books, you understand what it says there. I'm not as smart as you are. I'll open the Kabbalah book, where you can explain everything, how it's related to a person's internality, that's about loving others as itself, and so on. I'll open one book or another, and maybe I'll interpret it in a completely different way than you do. Right. So the book dangerous, because maybe I'm getting it all completely wrong, and this is where the madness comes from. I don't know what madness. Any book, take a philosophy book, any science, any wisdom, you can understand it correctly. So what? If you take a medicine book and you start performing different things that it says there, so what? It's less dangerous. But who will I do this to? On yourself, on others. Also the wisdom of Kabbalah. What are you going to do? Take psychology books or psychiatry books. The same? Yeah, but no one says that people who read medicine books went mad. They do say that about people who read the book of Zohar. I never witnessed anything of the kind. I heard about a few cases. You heard. People say so. People say so. You heard, but you didn't see. And you didn't see that it's clearly because of the book of Zohar. Why then? They were crazy before that. If you saw anyone crazy at all. But someone told someone and so on. Why? Because a person can't stand this wisdom, because it speaks of the correction of his ego. So to summarize, you're saying that people can go mad because of anything. Medicine books, psychiatry books, philosophy books. The world is full of crazy people. Talk to psychiatrists, they'll tell you that 20% of the people walking on the streets, not those in mental hospitals, 20% of the people on the street are crazy, really crazy. I had a few such neighbors, I experienced it. A few more percent are half crazy. And if you have a few left that still aren't, then they're on their way there. So the world is full of crazy people, and it's natural. Mankind is full of them. If you look at this world, can you believe that it's full of wise people? Yeah, but we're talking about going mad on this level. You're saying that people can go mad because of different things. They can can go mad from a medicine book, psychology book, psychiatry book. They can go mad if they open the Zohar. Maybe they'll go mad. It's unrelated to the book itself, but to that person. Meaning opening the book of Zohar doesn't accelerate a person going mad. I'm asking you seriously. I feel like in the Inquisition 1,000 years ago. You feel like in Israel in 2018. The same. The book of Zohar, does it drive people mad or not? The book of Zohar is unrelated to any person, and you can't go mad because of it. Kabbalists wrote about it many things, many times. From the Ari on, it became revealed, and everyone says that you can study it. There were thousands of Kabbalists since the Ari, and up until now, they all wrote about it. The Hasidic leaders, Rabbi Cook, the Rabash, Baal HaSulam, what is there to talk about? I'd say that to the contrary, we can't exist in our times without the wisdom of Kabbalah. This is something else. Who are we? The people of Israel and the entire world. Why? Because it explains how should we continue our life, even here, in this world, on this planet, if we want to continue living without being completely eradicated. Who will be eradicated? First of all, the people of Israel, and then the rest of the world. What's the connection between the wisdom of Kabbalah and continuing to exist? This is for another show. Okay, I want to understand. When you told us on one of our previous shows that the book of Zohar was written and then hidden, and it's also it's the hidden wisdom, meaning throughout the generations, the Kabbalists hid this element. Why? They hid it because they were afraid that people will go mad or because of other reasons. I just want to understand. I understand. Why did they hide it? They hid it because humanity, throughout its existence, is going through a process of an increase of the evil inclination, of the ego. And as a result, we develop a bigger ego, pushes us to develop technologically, scientifically, educationally, and so on. And we have to reach a state that through our development, and we really love developing, that we're reaching its end. What is the end of our development? That we see that the entire development is to our detriment. And now it's becoming revealed in our world that our world became interconnected, global and integral, and we don't know how to correctly be interconnected. And so nature, that's locking all of us together, it evokes great hatred in us towards one another on different levels. And then the world comes under the threat of eradication because we can't separate. Technology, technique, the media, everything's closing us together so much that I feel that I'm in a cage. And countries, look what's happening to them. They're standing in each other's way, not knowing how to separate. It wasn't so in the past. So the wisdom of Kabbalah is revealing itself in a generation that already understands that it needs a method of how to correct our ego in order to allow us to exist in a world where we're interconnected with each other in a good way. And why was it hidden in previous generations? Because there was no need for it. Also, no one saw any importance in it. What for? If I can advance, if I can develop, discover continents, develop a space program, do different things, look how much we can do. Transcontinental everything. And today we see that we're at a dead end. And what now? In order to keep advancing, we need a force that connects us in a good way. Otherwise, we'll blow up this planet. Not even talking about ecology and everything. So in order not to blow ourselves up, we need a good force. The force of good is brought to us by the wisdom of Kabbalah. And this is why it is revealed only now. because what was missing previously? The need for the wisdom of Kabbalah. We could have advanced by the power of our ego in a very good way. Today we see that our ego has brought us to a dead end. So the force that the wisdom of Kabbalah can bring mankind today, what exactly is it? What force can Kabbalah give the world that's missing in the world? Consideration, connection, up to the degree of love between us. Between people? Yes. All people? All people. So if I'll open the book of Zohar, what will happen? Nothing will happen. You won't understand anything there. Suppose I'll come and I'll study, I'll open the book of Zohar. No, no, no. If you're coming to study, it's not immediately. It's like a physics book. Can you immediately understand something? It's a book for experts. After many courses, we teach it. But really, it's already intended for anyone who wants to know where is he living and how can he correctly realize his life. Dr. Lightman, our time's up. Thank you very much for your patience. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time.